teaching ministry of Pastor Taiwo Odukoya, the senior pastor of the Fountain of Life Church. It is our prayer that the message you're about to hear will no doubt shape your destiny in Christ. Be blessed as you listen.
So today, first scripture, 2 Corinthians chapter 10. Father, thank you for utterance in the name of Jesus. Thank you because you never stop blessing. I ask in the name of Jesus that you will give understanding, and by your spirit we'll touch everywhere we need to touch. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. 2 Corinthians in chapter 10, I'll read from verse 3. It says, "For though we walk in the flesh, we do not war according to the flesh. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty in God for pulling down strongholds, casting down arguments," many translations put it as imaginations, "and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God, bringing every thought into captivity to the obedience of Christ." Hallelujah. Yeah, that's the much I want to take from there, and I believe God to be able to land, not just safely, prosperously, in the name of Jesus. Amen. It says, "For though we walk in the flesh," I like some other translations because they just speak in today's English and they make it a little easier for us. Give me TPT. "For although we live in the natural realm," I think that is a little clearer. "For though we live in the natural realm, we don't wage a military campaign employing human weapons." Hallelujah. Then it says, "using manipulation to achieve." But I think it's more than manipulation. Using manipulation, using anger, using envy, using unforgiveness. These are all natural propensities. Hello. But what we are hearing is that they don't win the war. They don't win the war. So here, I decided by the grace of God that we establish, for this to be said, which again you can corroborate in, I think, Ephesians 6, that says we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against principalities and powers. Hallelujah. So that establishes clearly for us that there is a war to fight. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. So the first thing is for everybody to know that life is a battle. It's the truth. Fine, we are the blessed of the Lord. Fine, we are in the era of grace. Fine, we are highly favored. And all these are true. The truth, taking it further, is that we are actually kings reigning on earth as far as God is concerned. But what is happening does not sound or look like reigning in some cases or in most cases. Yes. So he says the weapon of our warfare are not carnal. Hallelujah. Still buttressing the fact that there's a warfare. John 16:33. Can you quickly flash it for me? John 16:33 in the New King James. "Glory be to God in the highest. These things I have spoken to you, that in me you may have peace." Hallelujah. "In me you may have peace. In the world, however, you have tribulations." So we cannot just start to say, "I have peace." That could be one of the strategies of winning the war, because we do have peace. But the master himself said there will be tribulations. And I will explain to you why. He will tell you who you are and what you have. Then I'll tell you the situation around you. Why? Because it's important to know who you are to win the war. And it's important to know what you have to know to win the war. Yeah. He said, in me you will have peace. And I like your choice of words. All through the epistles, everything that we are and we have and will ever be are in him. Everything. In him, in whom, hallelujah. Praise God. And again, to further buttress the fact that there is a war. The truth is that many of us are fighting the war that we don't even know that we are fighting. But we are fighting. Glory be to God in the highest. So why are you doing this? It's important on a day like this so that you can mop up what is left to be mopped up, and then you can be well prepared into the new year. Somebody shout hallelujah. Shout amen. Amen. Glory be to God in the highest. Amen. This is the weapon of our warfare. Okay, look at his letter to Timothy in 1 Timothy chapter 1, 18, 19. 1 Timothy chapter 1, 18 and 19. This charge I commit to you, my son, or son, Timothy, according to the prophecies previously made concerning you, that by them you may wage what? So there is a warfare. I'm just establishing the fact that there is a warfare. So he says, according to the prophecies that have gone over your life, let me charge you, war, a good warfare. So, son Timothy, there is a war to fight. Let me just give you one more scripture. Then I leave this zone. Go to the next one quickly. Hallelujah. 1 Timothy chapter 6 verse 12. Remember it says, again, Paul was writing to Timothy. He said to him to fight the fight of faith. Hallelujah. 1 Timothy 6 verse 12. It says, fight the good word and the good fight of faith and lay hold of thy life. Yes. To which... So he was the mentor. So he was advising the young one. Say, you've got to fight. And it's a good fight. And it's a fight of faith. We're also called there. And we, see. And we what? Have confessed. Go ahead. The good confession in the presence of men. So a lot of strategy is here. But there's a fight. Christianity is a fight. Life itself is a fight. So tell your children. But let them know that in him there is peace. So if you're just hammering fight, and you don't tell them that it's a good fight, that's a good warfare, that in him there is peace, you just be scaring them. Praise the Lord. So I'm still looking at the warfare thing. I'll give you one more that I go. This is Paul still talking to Timothy. I mean, if I should have a mentor again, I would look for someone like Paul. He will show you from the word and he'll show you what he has done and what he's doing. Most mentors don't tell you what they do. Okay, 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 4. No one, he was still talking to Timothy. It was like the whole letter was, man, fight, war. No one engaged in what? So Timothy, what you don't know, what you signed for, what you signed up for is warfare. It is. That was what he was telling him. No one engaged in warfare entangles himself with the affairs of this life. Otherwise, it will be clumsy. Then the last one.
2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 7. Why are you just reading out verses? So that you can carry out your own studies. So you can be an expert there yourself. Be an expert at knowing that there is war. An expert at knowing how to fight the war. Then you have enough to really encourage people with. And you see Jesus constantly being glorified in your life because you know, and you can apply. Somebody shout amen. Yeah. Glory be to God in the highest. The 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 7. I stop with that. I have fought. That was when he was finishing. In fact, the verse 12, he said, I'm caught in between two. Whether to just leave, because I finished, or to still stay with you. That's the way we all die. You will finish. It will be a matter of choice. In the name of Jesus. Oh yes, it will be a matter of choice. Say, I have fought the good fight. I have finished the course. I have kept the faith. So when we're talking about the faith, you see Paul describing your faith journey as a race or a fight. There are more, but let me leave it. I think it's established enough that there's a fight. Yeah. There's a fight. Having dealt with that, can we now go to the weapons? Go back to our main scripture. Glory be to God. Oh, I feel the fire. And I feel good. Yeah. For the weapons. So now that we know there is a war, then let's look at the weapons. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal. The first thing we learned here is that it's not natural. Though we're living the natural, our weapons are not natural. So if we employ natural weapons, tendencies that we don't really achieve success. We don't win the war that we expected to win. So the first thing that they are not natural. So if I were you, I would begin to look for the weapons in the unnatural realm. And the unnatural realm, as far as the Christian is concerned, is the spiritual. Oh yeah. Don't go looking for spiritual powers. There are many. But not every spiritual power is Christian. In fact, most of them are not Christian. Can I repeat? Don't go looking for spiritual power or unnatural power, or just don't go look for it outside Christianity. But the weapons you need to fight with, they are not natural, they are not carnal. That's the first thing we learn here. But the fact that they are not natural does not make them weak. In fact, they are stronger. Somebody shout amen. He said, but they are what? They are not carnal, but mighty. What does mighty mean? Yeah. Study. Wait a minute. Confirmed. Tested. Proven. Say, by who? By those that be. And the ones that have gone before us. By God himself. You think God will put anything in you that has not been tested? Even you, when God will give you an assignment, he will test you. Honestly, he will prove you. That's the way he is. Hallelujah. We give him praise. But they are mighty. How? In God. Then I'll tell you what they can do. Okay, mighty in God again. Let's go back to TPT. Let's just pick this one. Yes, this verse. For although, can you see? Everybody, can you see? For although we live in the natural realm, we don't wage a military campaign employing human weapons, using manipulation to achieve our aims. Instead, this is where I'm going. Our spiritual weapons are what? Energized with what? Divine power. Hallelujah. To effectively dismantle the defense of the enemy. So when he says mighty, it means it is empowered.
your weapons themselves are enabled for action. Victorious action. They have power. They have the capacity to cause, to wreak an havoc. They are mighty. See, they are not just tools. They are divinely energized tools. And they have the capacity to do the job. Weapons! They are energized. So what are these weapons? Usually people turn to Ephesians 6 immediately, which is okay. But maybe we just quickly do some work there so that will free us. I can now go to continue what I'm doing. Go to Ephesians 6 quickly. From 12. Yeah. It says, your hand-to-hand combat, insisted not that I say that to you, is not with human beings, go ahead, but with the highest principality. So we are fighting spirits. But see, the effects are in the physical. I mean, why I'm fighting because physically something is happening. But we must understand that it's the result of how the battle has gone in the spirit. That's the effect of what you're feeling. Anyway, but with the highest principalities and authorities operating in rebellion under the heavenly realms. For they are a powerful class of demon gods and evil spirits that hold this dark world in bondage. That's what they do. They want to hold everybody in bondage. Yeah. Because of this, you must wear all the armor that God provides so you are protected as you confront. So you must confront. You get that? As you confront the slanderer. For you are destined for all things and will rise. So when the Bible begins to tell you that there's a war and begin to tell you how serious it is, it will tell you how victorious you already are. Then please listen to instructions so that you can walk in the victory. Yeah, glory be to God. Go ahead. Put on truth as belt to strengthen your stand in triumph. Pause. Truth, if you were in the physical, catch the truth. What's the truth? The word of God. Good. Okay, let's go on. But put on holiness as the protective armor that covers your head. I think that's the breastplate of righteousness. Whether you are talking righteousness, how can you lay your hands on righteousness? Through Christ. How? You see, we talk about salvation too. How do you come about salvation? We are saved by grace through faith. How does faith come? Faith comes by the, by hearing, and hearing by the. So you can reduce all the weapons to the word. That is the basic entity of every weapon we have. That's why I just thought, let's go there, because fine, there are great preachings and teachings. Those if you just talk about the weapons are not carnal or we rest on, we come here, which is great. A lot. It has helped me particularly for most of those teachings and preachings. But I'm just trying to give you something practical. As led by the Spirit. So sincerely, I'm a working example of the power of God. Not that I'm saying that I have power to come and unleash on you. No. I mean, it has worked in my life. I didn't comfort it. I've been comforted. I'm just trying to help somebody. So you can begin to see where we're going with our weapons, as it were. Go back to our scripture quickly. 2 Corinthians chapter 10. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty in God for pulling down strongholds. So we now begin to see what the weapons can do. We've successfully narrowed down the weapon to the word. If you get in the word, all the different pieces of the weapon will begin to take their place. I'm not joking. And more so that through the word, you know that you need a belt. The word will form the belt. You need a helmet. Come on. Feel short with gospel of peace. Oh, wow.
not can I, but mighty in God, pulling down strongholds. You know, we talk about principalities and powers and this. Tendency is to look at them as physical entities. They are not. Why we always think that way? Because we are in a realm where matter commands everything, space and time, and everything is in three dimensions. Here, it is dimensionless. Time does not count. Space does not count. They're here on earth. Oh, they are the measures. They are the measures. They are the measures. Control from there. But here, it's a free flow. That's why 1,000 years is like 1 day. And 1 day is like 1,000 years. So you cannot tell God that God, you are delaying. You say, but what you are still kind of measuring me? All you just need to do is just trust me. You say, what do you mean? That's just living by faith. That's it. The clock is ticking. I understand. But can you trust me? If you can trust me, you discover that I control time. So what is stronghold then? Let's go further here. It will explain itself. Yes. Pulling down strongholds. What does he do with strongholds? He pulls them down. You know what he calls strongholds? He said the barrier behind which our enemies hide. The covering that makes it possible for them to deceive us. See, so what does he mean by pulling down? He said he cuts it off. I mean, he unmasks them. So pulling down strongholds, yeah, go ahead. And casting down, come on, pulling down, casting down. Arguments. Most Russians says casting down imaginations. So, and then, yes, and every high thing that exalts itself above the knowledge of God, bringing every thought. So you have imagination, hallelujah. You have stronghold, you have imaginations, you have thoughts. So you can see the realm of the battle. So where is the realm of the battle? It's in the spirit. But vis-a-vis you, where is the battle? It's in your subconsciousness. It's in your soul. It's in your mind. So where is the stronghold? In your mind. So are all these responsibilities in your mind? No. But they try to control your mind. They establish their own boundary and they defend it. In fact, we are told, if you really go to look at the Greek and really study it, it's like war. One gets some grounds and dig a trench. That's exactly the way it is described. One army comes and digs a trench. And then the other one comes and when the firework is too much, drive them out and take away that trench and dig a trench towards them. You say, how? That's how the spirit and the flesh works. The Bible says that the spirit in you wars against. Where is the war? You see, and we teach these things in believers' class. But a lot of people are not settled enough to grab all these things. So the spirit war against the flesh, and the flesh against the spirit. What do you mean? Hey, you've forgotten that the prince of the power of the air, not air spiritually, is the devil. In fact, it's referred to as the god of this world. That's the cosmic system. And so you look at all the systems you have, educational system, system. Hey, he has a big, oh, come on. He has a stake and he will always defend it. So what do? We get in there and we use the same thing. And we use it against him and make him cover grounds and liberate people. Hallelujah. Pull down and establish what we have to do. And then set people free and station them there and then continue what you're doing. Hallelujah. And you pull him down by the weapons. Hallelujah. Glory be to God in the highest. So it's a battle of the mind. Or it's the battle in the mind or in the soul. Whether you're talking thoughts or imagination or strongholds, they are in the same realm. The principality and power cannot rule over me except as I open myself up to them and I agree with them. And how will they come? Through the physical realm.
through my senses, my eye, my nose, my taste, my feel. Come on. Touch can be dangerous. Taste, hearing, seeing, smelling, the physical senses. Somebody said, what you understand is that your brain is the place we can go to touch. Doctors will tell us. Your brain is the hardware. Your thoughts, software. Churn out results. Oh, I feel the fire. So you know the nature. So what's the nature of the battle? Don't let them corrupt your software. Keep your hardware intact. The Bible says that in Proverbs 4:23 says, keep your heart with all diligence. Because they determine the extent of your life. And not just physical. It may even impinge on your eternal, God forbid. Now, having said that, the battlefield is your mind. And then, of course, then what's the strategy? Now, we've told you that every of your weapon can be found in the word, and it's through the word. So what's the strategy? Words. What's the strategy? Words. Quickly, how did Jesus do it? The Bible said when he came out from the water, hallelujah, when he came out from the water of baptism, God just revealed what he knew to the rest of the world, and everybody heard, and the devil knew, but he didn't know how serious. But that day God slammed him with the seriousness of it. You are my beloved son. God said to him, he followed him into the wilderness and he went to tempt him. And then, was God aware? Of course. The Bible says the Holy Ghost led him now. So, you see what I mean by God? We prove some things. And then, what did he say? If you are the son of God, what was he trying? What was he daring? He was daring the word. He was daring the promise. He was daring the prophecy. He was daring the finished work of Christ in the life of a man. No, this is Jesus Christ. But the same principle applied to us. God just said, and you're saying, if you are. Guess what? It is written. For every temptation, Jesus was quoting from the book of Deuteronomy. He was and he is the word. And yet he was quoting the word. Can't you see that you will be too, it will be foolhardy of me or you not to go into the word and we are shouting, we are in trouble. Jesus. Use the word. It is written. It is written. It is written. And the devil left. The Bible said that he left him for a season. Guess what? All three was troubling him. Remember? Through the Pharisees and the scribes, and he was troubling him. But in the Garden of Gethsemane was another big one. And again, what happened there? I mean, let me quickly finish talking about Jesus. You think that the devil came and stood before Jesus like this and said, no, he was in the thought. It was in the spiritual realm. But Jesus spoke out. He said, how do you know? Because we have it recorded. You can read it. Okay, but we have the devil's own recorded too because Jesus made it known to us. Hallelujah. So how do you get this impulse from the external? How? From people, what people say or do. He uses people. What they've been telling you since you were younger, what they just suddenly just told you that now you accept, you just change everything. That's why you can see a man bouncing, and then you just turn, and somebody else was talking to the person, and then you came back. They've changed. They've just swallowed something. Words! But this is the pattern all along. Psalm 1, blessed is the man that walks on the counsel of the ungodly, that stands on the, that sits on his, but whose delight is in the law of the Lord, the word. And therein he does what? You're getting the strategies now. Therein he meditates day and night. Glory be to God in the highest. They say he shall be like what? Hey! His lips also shall not wither. Whatever he does, he will. Someone shall prosper. The whole world is only after prosperity, and they don't know the secret. And that's why when they hide, they go. When they hide, that you can walk the path that God just stacked it up for you. And he sustains it because he gave you in the first place. Is somebody hearing me?
Yes,
that word meditate. Jack Efford just he pointed. He said, he said self-talk. Can I be frank with you? There is nothing that happens to you that you don't accept. And when you accept, you tell yourself. If you don't tell yourself, it can never be binding on you. A lot of people don't know that they talk to themselves. Science has proven that self-talk is between 50 and 75% of your talk per day. So what you talk to people and people talk to you, less than what you say to yourself. Ah, that man is looking at me, or he doesn't like me. You told yourself. Nobody told you. And if you allow it to rest, you that came here jumping and laughing, you'll go back. They will know that you have been captured in your mind. Nobody likes me. Nobody does. I have nothing to eat. Nobody even looking at me. This is a very wicked church. Ah, this is a very good church. Somebody came telling me something. I said, you know what? You're a prisoner of your mind. Say, no, I'm not a prisoner. I said, no, I'm not abusing you. We are all prisoners of our minds. That's why we're asked to keep it with all diligence. Because they tell me how far we go in life. Life is sinusoidal. That you're in the pit today does not mean you'll die there. Depending on what you're thinking and what you're saying. What you think is what you say. What you say to yourself is what begins to manifest outside. As a man thinks, that's still the Bible. That's still Proverbs. You see where the word is? You know the thing about self-talk is that there's no amount of, okay, if take for example, all you do, when everybody is smiling, you're like, I'll come and say, how are you doing? Are you okay? Tomorrow, after tomorrow, I'll move away from you. It's natural. They will leave you. How are you? I said, I'm fine. I'm only thinking of... Arise! After all, you are a king on earth. You are the light of the world. You are a sweet... You forgot all that because somebody said something or because something happened? The weapons of our warfare are not kind of... I looked at it and said, self-talk. I said, talk to me about self-talk vis-a-vis the Christians. He said, they take what God has said about them, they put in there, and they keep on telling themselves. Did you see that one? Where was it? I read. And he said that, during something confession, Paul was talking to Timothy. He said, yes, he was talking about how he will fight, he will protect himself in the warfare, and how use confession. It's there. What's confession? Say what God is saying about you. Don't say what people are saying. Don't say what circumstances are saying. Those are strategies of the devil to get you down. Once he can get hold of your mind, it's a stronghold. Bring in the word of God and say it. I'm a child of God. Hallelujah. I'm completely new. Is that yakata baba. Alokotoba shakadaba. I'm light. I'm the light of my generation. I shine. Malabo. Not everybody is saying it. Is everybody me? Is everybody God? Is everybody me? Let's rise. Even to praise God, even to thank God. Psalm 103. It says, bless the Lord. Who was he talking to? Himself! Otherwise, he will not praise God. And all that's within me, praise his holy name. He was talking to himself. And what is it? By the time he now started enumerating all this, hey, I know there are some big, but come on. See, he saved you from destruction, saved your life. Feed your mind. Come on. Who are you waiting for? To come and rub your head. This is that you will never find them. But when you change your thoughts, people will gravitate towards you. Shall we give him praise? I say the rest of this year, keep on winning. I say go forth winning in the name of Jesus. Enter next year celebrating in the name of Jesus.
We know
that you have been tremendously blessed by this message. For additional information and materials from Pastor Taiwo Odukoya, please contact us at the Founding of Life Church, 12 Industrial Estate Road by PZ Industries of Town Planning Way in Lupeju, Lagos. P.O. Box 698, Shemolu, Lagos. Visit our website at www.tfolc.org. Thank you and God bless you.